In other words, now we understand that prayer is not peripheral. Prayer is paramount. It's not optional. It's essential. Wherever prayer focuses, power falls.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as we continue to look at the power of someone else's prayer. And Pastor, I think many of us would be quick to say, oh, I know prayer is important. I believe prayer is important. But when you look at our prayer lives, that doesn't necessarily prove it out. And I think that's because sometimes we struggle with the understanding of how important prayer truly is. We hear people say prayer is important, but if we're struggling to believe that, how do we grow in that belief and in that faith?
Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we'll be more convinced of the power of prayer as we get into the word of God and begin to see those who prayed. And even like was in the introduction, wherever prayer focuses, power falls. Mm-hmm. And so I look and I see Moses prayed, and the results was Israel had victory as long as he prayed. And he had to have two individuals come and hold up his hands. It's just a typical word picture for their assisting him in his prayer.
Yeah.
And whenever he prayed, they won. When he failed to pray, they lost. So pray, Moses, pray.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and so prayer, you think about it, prayer gives us access to heaven, the disciples' prayer. Mm-hmm. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when I'm praying, what I'm saying in essence is this: God, would you tell me what heaven has designed so it can be demonstrated on the earth.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying. We're connecting, and God allows us. I can be anywhere and everywhere with prayer.
Yeah. Well, it's a great reminder as we continue this message, the power of someone else's prayer. If you can, join us in Genesis chapter 19. Here is Pastor Ford.
Missionary doctor from Michigan was a missionary doctor in Africa. And he was on the continent. He was in a country, and the city was 2 days' journey from the village where he was working. He would go to the village and help people get healed and blah, 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 and then come back to the city after he got rid of everything. So he'd be about 2 weeks in the village. So he goes to the city, goes to the bank, gets some money, gets a lot of medicine, gets food and some other things, has the money left over and the medicine, and travels back. The first day he travels, then he stops at night and he sleeps. Then he gets up and he goes to the village the second day. On his way back, he was met by a man that he had helped that had been fighting another man and been injured. And he said to him, listen, I need to tell you what happened. He said, we were going to rob you. And we knew you had to stop in the middle of the night and stay the night. So me and a couple other guys, I told them about all the medicine, the money, and we were going to rob you. Said, but when we came to your tent, there were 26 men around your tent with weapons. Who were they? And the missionary said, nobody was around my tent. Nobody at all. He said, yes, there were. He said, they had a glow to them. And we were afraid. We didn't, where did they come from? We don't know. And so we didn't mess with you. We left. But I wanted to know who those men were, because you've been talking about Jesus, and I think I want to know. Missionary was sharing his testimony, and he said, and I led him to Christ. Before he could finish his testimony, a man stood up and said, wait a minute, when was this? He told him when it was. He said, you know what? No, no, no. Guess what happened? It was night in Africa. It was day here. And God put you on my heart. So I was going to play golf. I threw my golf clubs in the back of the trunk. I called the brothers of the church and called a prayer meeting, an ad hoc prayer meeting. And I said, listen, we got to pray for the missionary. And we held hands in our sanctuary and we prayed for you. Men, stand up. And as the men stood up, as they were finally done, the missionary started crying. Not at who had prayed for him, but you guessed it, how many? 26 men stood up. Yeah. Yeah, 26 men stood up. Wow. That's it. When you begin to look at it, this intercessory prayer, Christ, Hebrews 7:25b, he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Luke 22:32, what did he say? He said, Peter, I have prayed for you because the devil has desired to sift you like wheat. And when you are converted, not if, strengthen your brothers. Wow. Number three, the privilege of Abraham's intercessory prayer. Look at what's going on. Now, let me just say this. I got to say this. I was going to let it go. The revelation came at the place of supplication about the devastation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here it is. During his intercessory prayer, read the text. It's in the text. As he's praying, God is revealing. Maybe you don't have revelation because you don't have supplication. Because God can't reveal to you what you're asking about because you ain't praying. Read Daniel chapter 9. Daniel says it was at the place of prayer that the angel Gabriel came and gave him the answer while he was praying. So he was at the place of prayer and God gave him the answer. Now, what's going on? Now, I got to bottom line this because my time is really slipping away from me. Let me read verse 28. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Now, did anybody get that? Or did it go right over your head? Okay, think about this. In Genesis 18, 16, it says that Abraham looked. And he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. Now he's looking at Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the privilege of intercessory prayer? Let me see if you can get it. The first time he looked, Sodom, Gomorrah, and Lot was prosperous. The second time he looked, they are being punished. Did you get it yet? The first time he looked, they were sowing. Now when he looks, they were reaping. Anybody get it yet? God allowed Abraham to see the benefits of living godly. And what God is doing, remember when he made the decision in Genesis 13, 10, when Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, even though they were wicked sinners, Abraham made a decision, I'm not going to allow the world to prosper me. God will make me prosperous. And even though I may be suffering now, I know that God doesn't always give me what I want immediately, but God's going to give it to me ultimately. So I will forego rubbing elbows, being conformed to the image of the world like Lot, because I already know the outcome of that. When did he find out the outcome of that? When he left and didn't do what God told him. Remember what God said? Leave everybody. And who'd he take? Terah and Lot. And both of them became a curse. Are you traveling with somebody that's messing up your prayer life with God? So look at this. Isaiah said this, and I think it's 51:2. Isaiah said this, that God worked things out so that he had Abraham to himself. That's in Isaiah. That's 700 years after. God is letting us know, I wanted Abraham, and I couldn't get Abraham in a quiet place by himself. He had to have Terah. You already know that. And Terah took him to Haran. What does Haran mean? Delay. And for how many years was God silent and didn't speak to Abraham? 5. What had to happen? Terah had to die. Y'all remember that. Now, he's separated from Lot. And now, he's learned. Listen, the privilege of intercessory prayer is that God will show you that your decisions to live godly are worth it. Yeah, Abraham, let me show you that living godly pays. Don't always look at the fact that they're thriving now. Be sure their sins will find them out. Psalm 37:34, Psalm 91:8, Psalm 58:10 and 11, all of them say the same thing. He's saying you make the right choice. In other words, listen, God gives you insight into foresight like it's hindsight through prayer. What does he do? He gave him information. When did he give it to him? In Genesis 13, verse 10. Here's the last part of it. It says, before the Lord destroyed them. Genesis 18. Shall I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? What are you about to do, Lord? And then he told Abraham. Abraham had information everybody else didn't have because of intercessory prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. Come on, Walking Bible. Called unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you. The word literally means to unveil something that nobody else knows.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called The Power of Someone Else's Prayer. And we'll get back to this message in just a moment. If you're listening in another part of the world, we're in Chicago. So if you're anywhere other than Chicago, or even if you are here, we would love to hear from you. Love to know where you're listening, why you're listening, what sort of difference tuning in and listening to Pastor Ford's teaching is making in your walk with Christ. And whether that's listening through the radio, through the Moody Radio app, or even coming to the website, listening online, or podcasting the program. Why do you listen? Where do you listen? And what sort of difference is it making? Give us your feedback when you come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on contact. Once again, here's Pastor Ford.
Don't you want to be on the in crowd? Don't you want God to tell you things? And that's what he did. Remember what happened in Kings? Same thing. King of Syria, he wants to attack Israel. He wants to do a drive-by. And so he says, we're going to go down through the valley. And so he takes his army down to the valley. But Elisha went to the king and said, hey, they're going to try to sneak up on you down in the valley. So the king was waiting, and they were defeated. When they got back, he said, wait a minute. Some of y'all are with the king of Israel. Somebody was ear hustling and told him what I was about to do. Now get this. This is so key, man. That's why I get excited about preaching. I know y'all ready to go home, but you know, it's like, man, that's why I get excited about preaching. Get this. In the enemy camp, there was someone who knew about the person that God holds secrets to. On your job, does anybody know that God talks to you and tells you things he doesn't tell everybody else? In your family, at your family, do people know that you know God and there are things that God talks to you about? I'll tell you how you know. When they laugh at you in public, but then come to you in private and say, can I speak to you for a minute? Can I speak to you for a minute? That's how you know you're doing what God wants you to do. Yeah, because they're not going to do it openly, but they'll catch you at the water fountain. They'll catch you when you by yourself. Wait till everybody clear the lunchroom and you there trying to finish up on your sandwich. Can I talk to you for a minute over here? And so what happened? He said, no. It's this prophet. And so he said, we're going to try it again. We're going to go up around the mountain. And he went to the king and said, they be coming around the mountain when they come. Foiled again. And then what happened? Said, it's that Elisha. Okay, send my men down to destroy him. Gehazi's servant comes out, and there are the army of Seir all around his house. He said, man, Elisha, we in a heap of trouble now, son. They all around us. And Elisha said this. Check it out. This is intercessory prayer, is it not? Open his eyes. Isn't that what you're doing when you're praying for somebody's salvation? Open their eyes that they can see that Jesus is God in the flesh who died, was buried. Aren't that what you're saying? Open her eyes so she can see that her sugar daddy, he ain't got no money. He's just a sweet and low daddy. Open their eyes so they can see how they can be used. Open their eyes so they can see that lust wants to get, but love wants to give. That lust is concerned about what it can get from you, and love is concerned about. Open their eyes so they can see the fields are white under harvest and that people want to accept Christ. Here's what I'm reading every day, and it surprised me. More Muslims are being saved now than in the 20th century. People need to know the Lord. Only Abraham, the privilege of Abraham's intercessory prayer. Wow. Notice the product. Number four, I got two more. Notice the product of Abraham's intercessory prayer. God remembered Abraham. Let me tell you what the word means. It does not mean to call to mind something forgotten. Here's what it means, because God cannot forget anything. He doesn't have a momentary lapse in his omniscience. No. But here's what it literally means. To pay attention to something to fulfill a promise or to act on somebody else's behalf. A previous commitment made and it's now being fulfilled. God remembered Abraham. Now watch this. I hope somebody's getting this. Because here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Remember Abraham prayed? He went down to what number? 10. And there weren't 10. But there were 4. And God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. So here it is. What is this product of Abraham's intercessory prayer? God knew your heart about saving Lot. And even though there weren't 10, the grace of God is seen in, I'll give you 4. You ain't pray for it, but I'll give. You didn't pray for it, but I'm going to give you 4. Okay, all right, I'll just move on. In other words, now we understand that prayer is not peripheral. Prayer is paramount. It's not optional. It's essential. Wherever prayer focuses, power falls. Go through scripture. Moses prayed and God spared Israel from judgment. Joshua prayed and God caused the sun to stand still. Hannah prayed and God gave her a baby boy, Samuel, which means asked of God. Elijah prayed and God sent down fire from heaven. Peter prayed to God and raised Dorcas from the dead. The thief on the cross prayed and God gave him eternal life. The church prayed and God set Peter free from prison. Yeah, wherever prayer falls, power focuses. Wherever prayer is exerted, calamity can be averted. What would happen if this prayer initiative, okay, what's going to happen when this prayer initiative takes effect? See, if the church will pray up, then the lukewarm folk will warm up. Then the dishonest folk will fess up. Then the disgruntled folk will make up. The depressed folk will cheer up. The estranged folk will make up. The gossiping folk will shut up. The dry bones will shake up. The soldiers will stand up. And all the sleeping folk will wake up. That's it. Then the protection of his prayer. Let me give it to you real quick. The protection. What happens? Now, because he prayed, somebody else is protected. Do you remember this, darling, when I worked at the airport as a sanitation engineer? Do you remember that? When I was cleaning toilets and sweeping floors, I was a sanitation engineer. Do you remember this occasion when I came in and you were up and I was surprised you were up? And then I told you, I fell asleep at the wheel, coming around the bend on my way into the Fort Pitt tunnels, and my car was heading over the precipice. With me sleep at the wheel, I would have died, no doubt about it, when something said, "Wake up!" I'm sorry to wake all y'all up. I'll be done in a minute. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Because there ain't no sleep like a church sleep, and everybody know it. Okay, but I'm almost done. But that's what I heard. Wake up. And I woke up and I hit the brakes and my car spun. And because it was 4:30 in the morning, there were no other cars out because it really would have been a real wreck. And boom. She said, "What time was it?" I said, "It was about 4:30. She said, "About 4:20. God woke me up and said, "Pray for your husband." And what I was doing and what I was up, I just got done praying for you. When you put the key in the door, I had been praying for you from 4:20 until now. And we're in the room, we went down on our knees and thanked God. And I just cried because my wife saved my life again. You say, what's going on here in this text? Yeah, Abraham is a picture of Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Well, because think about Abraham and his picture of Jesus Christ. Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, "Go to a place that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make you the progenitor of a race." And so God sent him on a mission, and he went where God told him to go. And when he went, he saved somebody by a sword and supplication, and he became the progenitor or the father of the faithful. And That's Jesus Christ. He left heaven and came to earth. He was commissioned and sent by God. He's called the apostle of our faith. And he came to a bunch of lots, that's you and I, who were lost and dead in our trespasses and sins. And what did he do? He delivered us with the sword and with the supplication. He went to Calvary and died for us. And now he's making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. That's our Abraham. Now, I close, and you've been so gracious. His fiance drowned. How many of you have heard of Joseph Scriven? Anybody? Joseph Scriven. His fiance drowned and died the night before they were to be married. He left Dublin, Ireland, and went to Canada. He was mourning over her. He was upset at God. How could you kill her? And the day before we were to get married, you let her drown. And then he met somebody else about 3 years later and said, okay, I'm going to marry her. And then a couple weeks before the wedding, she died. So he made a vow of celibacy, and he said he was depressed so much that he thought of suicide often. But he said God ministered to him and gave him something. And because of that, he gave away all of his money and served the poor. Well, he found out that his mother had a terminal illness, and he didn't have any money to get back to Ireland. So he sent her a poem. It was called Pray Without Ceasing. Anybody ever heard that poem? Pray without ceasing. Yeah, one person has. Choir heard it this morning. Let me give you the words of pray without ceasing. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yeah, that's what he sent to his mother. The song we sing about what a friend we have in Jesus.
What a great lyric, isn't that? Maybe you grew up singing that song as well. Well, you're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford and a message all about prayer. In fact, it's called The Power of Someone Else's Prayer. And if you want to listen to any of these broadcasts again, you can do that by coming to treasuretruthradio.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You know, in thinking about prayer, you're not going to be praying to God if you don't have a relationship with Him. And one of the ways that you can begin that relationship with Him is actually through prayer. You know, coming to God and confessing that we are sinners who need saving from the consequences, from the penalty of our sin, be freed from the wrath of God, that we recognize that Jesus is God's one and only Son who went to the cross to pay for those sins, who absorbed the wrath, took that cup of wrath so that you and I don't have to do that. And then as Jesus conquered sin and conquered death, he invites us into relationship with him. And as the Bible says, if you come to him, he will not turn you away. If you'd like to talk with someone about beginning that relationship with Jesus, knowing that your sins can be forgiven, that your life can be transformed now, and that you can be spending your eternity in heaven with him, man, I'd love for you to call this toll-free number, talk with someone, pray with someone about beginning a relationship with Jesus. The number to call is 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And if you do know Jesus, I hope that you'll be praying that God continues to use this program to touch as many people as possible. And would you pray for the team here at Treasure Truth? We'd certainly appreciate that as well. Thanks to our team, our producers Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.